Episode 38, Honor. Look at any warrior culture and you will find a code of honor that those people try to live up to. Think of the code of chivalry of the medieval European knight. In feudal Japan, Bushido is the samurai code. The mighty Spartans and all-powerful Romans had codes of honor. You can find a sense of honor in Native American warrior societies and the Zulu tribes of Africa. In many of these cases, this code of honor seems to hold the warrior to a higher ethical standard than that required for an ordinary member of the society that the warrior serves. I actually left honor as the last tenet of the warrior mindset to discuss, because it can be very hard to define succinctly. Each warrior culture may value slightly different things when it comes to being honorable. Even in the same culture, there can be differences. Let's use feudal Japan as an example. Wikipedia has this to say. Bushido is often described as a specific moral code that all members of the samurai class were obligated to follow. However, historically, the samurai adhered to multiple warrior codes and the interpretations varied per samurai clan, individuals, and eras. These codes and philosophies changed drastically during the different eras. End quote. I did discuss this with someone else on the podcast a few episodes back now, where depending on whether there was a Confucius angle, Zen angle, you got different ideas about what an honor code was. What we can do is look at the overlap of these codes of conduct. It means we simplify things a little, but you can still gain an insight into what they considered important for their warriors to adhere to. A theme that does run through many eras and codes of old Japan is that of loyalty to one's lord, and the ultimate expression of this is to die in your master's service. Eventually, this would lead to the idea of seppuku, or ritual suicide. Now let's look at the honor code of the Native American warrior. Again, we come across the problem of these people consisting of many, many tribes spread across a vast distance and across many climates. This in turn creates many subcultures, if you will, that may or may not agree on what honor is. So, as with the Japanese approach, can we distill down a few key values? It seems, at least with a cursory glance, that many of these tribes respected warriors who fought for the good of the tribe. What use is a fighting man who keeps all the spoils for himself, or uses his power over others to cause strife in the group? A warrior with this attitude would weaken the tribe. Finally, let's look at the European Code of Chivalry. A quick look at Wikipedia tells us that the meaning of the term chivalry evolved over time into a broader sense because in the Middle Ages, the meaning of chevalier, of which chivalry comes from, changed from the original idea of a military follower owning a warhorse or a group of mounted knights to the ideal of the Christian warrior ethos propagated in the romance genre. The romantic notions of chivalry included being loyal to one's lord, to protect the innocent and the ideals of the Christian church, and finally, to show respect to and protect all ladies. What we must remember with all these codes of conduct is that they were ideals that society wished their warrior class would live up to. The reality was often very different. So why did these honor codes exist? Why is honor so important? Honor, along with selflessness, are two of the five tenets of the warrior mindset that keep the warrior on the moral path. For without them, an ideal warrior is no better than a serial killer. If you haven't heard my take on the other tenets of the warrior mindset, then I suggest you start at episode 3 of this podcast and go from there. The distinction between a warrior and a murderer is not a trivial one. As mentioned in Shannon E. French's essay, The Code of the Warrior, Ideals of Warrior Cultures Throughout History. Murder is an act that is cross-culturally condemned. Whatever the other points of discord, the major religions of the world agree in the determination that murder, variously defined, is wrong. Unfortunately, the fact that we abhor murder produces a disturbing tension for those who asked to fight wars. End quote. By the way, Shannon is interviewed on the Art of Manliness podcast. Check out episode 625, The Code of the Warrior. It is excellent. So what does a sense of honour provide the fighting man or woman? Stephen Pressfield, in his book The Warrior Ethos, says that warrior cultures employ honour along with shame to produce courage and resolve in the hearts of young men. And although this is probably true, I think honour has a deeper purpose for the warrior than just providing courage. A code of honour gives a sense of purpose, a security in knowing what is right and wrong in the moment of killing. It also holds the warrior accountable to his or her peers. If you break the honour code, you risk being shamed or ostracised by the group. Shannon French goes on to say, the code of the warrior not only defines how warriors should interact with their own warrior comrades, but also how they should treat other members of their society, their enemies, and the people they conquer. The code restrains the warrior. End quote. There is a power imbalance between the warrior who is trained for violence and the everyday person who is not. If the warrior lets his power go to his head, he will not care how he exerts power over others and will become a monster. Those of us that practice martial arts should consider this deeply. Again, back to French's essay. The most compelling reason for warriors to accept restraint may be the internal moral damage they risk if they fail to do so, and the serious psychological damage they may suffer. The nature of the warrior's calling places him or her in peculiar moral peril. End quote. I've mentioned moral injury from time to time in this podcast, and this is the crux of the matter for me in this discussion. Moral injury is acting against one's core values either because you are ordered to or you have no other choice, and then living with the guilt or shame of that action. An example Matthew Kruger of the Walking with the Tengu podcast likes to use is having to choose between saving one of two children from a burning building. You only have time to save one child and the other will perish. How do you live with that decision? Having an honour code helps reconcile some of these things. Back to French's essay. Warriors need a way to distinguish what they must do out of a sense of duty from what a serial killer does for the sheer sadistic pleasure of it. Their actions, like those of the serial killer, set them apart from the rest of society. Warriors, however, are not sociopaths. They respect the values of the society in which they were raised and which they are prepared to die to protect. It is therefore imperative for them to conduct themselves in such a way that they will be honoured and esteemed by their communities, not reviled and rejected by them. End quote. This is further along in her article. By setting standards of behaviour for themselves, accepting certain restraints and even honouring their enemies, warriors can create a lifeline that will allow them to pull themselves out of the hell of war and reintegrate themselves into their society, should they survive to see peace restored. End quote. I can't help but look back at my previous episode on psychological armoring and see the links between engaging and disengaging from combat and upholding an honour code. Both are in an effort to save the moral character, the very humanity of the warrior. People in a warrior society identify with a list of virtues. These can be grey, but better than just a set of rules. Adhering strictly to a set of rules can leave loopholes. After all, how would you measure the worth of someone when you are told, well, at least they don't break the law? Identity is stronger than the rules. A warrior has been identified as a knight, or a samurai, or a soldier, etc. And betraying that is a big deal, and it may help resist the great temptation to do the wrong thing during wartime. Doing the honourable thing, whatever that is in your culture, could save your own humanity. By looking at honour today, this episode brings to a close my series of short episodes on the five tenets of a warrior mindset. I hope you have enjoyed looking at these warrior traits, and it has given you some food for thought. As always, if you have enjoyed what I have had to say, consider going to my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/MushaShugyoPodcast, all one word, or simply go to the Patreon website and look up Dean Suter under Creators and find my podcast there. You can also get hold of me on Instagram at MushaShugyoPodcast or via email at MushaShugyoPodcast@gmail.com. Feedback is always welcome. To finish off today, we'll have the quote of the episode. This one is from the ancient Greek playwright Sophocles. He says this: "Rather fail with honour than succeed by fraud."